Good to see everyone this morning. I'd like to reintroduce a friend, Chris. Chris, I'd like to get you up here. Would you come up here, please? Chris is an attorney. This is what an attorney looks like. How much am I being charged for you to come up here?
My previous rate was $900 an hour.
$900 an hour. So I'm getting him. Chris, we go way back. He just reminded me that 24 years ago, he was here. I met him when he was a junior in college. He was single. He lived in Texas, and he met a California girl, his wife, who now they live in what part of Texas?
Near Dallas.
Say something astute. Astute. Tell us something about yourself we don't know that would encourage everyone here today.
I grew up going to a Houston Covenant Church, and that's where the connection was. Pastor Kevin was here, and Jenny was able to come here before we got married and get to know the stream of Christianity I grew up in and the emphasis on relationship and people. And just when I came in this morning and I was sitting there, and it was about 24 years ago this month, I moved to California to marry Jenny and started attending this church, and the relationships that I've made still going strong today, to where when I come out here for a 2-month-long trial, I have a place to come and just get encouraged and restored, because I miss my family, but I have family here. Yeah. So,
thank Amen. You. Thank you, Chris. They have 4 children, and amazing family. But Chris is a real aficionado on apologetics. He's written articles, and so he's an expert in that area. So just really appreciate you keeping our relationship and going moving forward. So I want to read a story. When Leonardo da Vinci, you know who he was, right, was painting the masterpiece, The Last Supper, he selected a person to sit for the character of Christ as a young man. His name was Pietro Bandinelli, by name, connected with the Milan Cathedral. Years passed before the great picture was completed, and one character, and one only, was missing, and that was Judas Iscariot. So the great painter noticed a man in the streets of Rome whom he selected as his model, with shoulders far bent forward to the ground, having the expression of a cold, hardened, evil, saturnine. The man seemed to afford the opportunities of a model terribly true to the artist's conception of Judas. When in the studio, the profligate began to look around as if recalling incidents years gone by. Finally, he turned with a look half sad, yet one which told how hard it was to realize what change had taken place. He said, "Maestro, I was in this studio 25 years ago. I was then the Christ that sat for you." So as a young man, he was chosen because of his face to represent Christ in the Last Supper. And now, I've never looked at the Last Supper, those of you with this in mind, but maybe you'll look at the painting with the understanding that it's not how we start this thing, it's how we finish it. It is possible to be a one-year-old Christian for 50 years. How many of you believe that? In other words, you can come to Christ, you can go down an aisle, but the Holy Spirit is calling us to maturity, and he's calling us to pick up our cross, deny ourselves. He never called us just to believe in him and then go about our life and put him in the margins. He called us to walk with him and be part of him in every way. Anonymous said this: "Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, and the Holy Spirit has been sent to prepare us for that place." Whatever the Lord's doing, wherever we're going, he's preparing a place for us. But the Holy Spirit is working in us right now to prepare us in this life. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. No man convicts you of sin. I was talking to someone I really esteemed once, and I said something, and the person said, "You're never going to change anybody." Would you please raise your hand if you've tried to change somebody? Please, come on, be honest. Okay, turn to somebody and say, "You're never going to change anybody." Would you please say that? Please, say it with enthusiasm. Say it, "You're never going to change anybody." Tell them, convince them. Wives, 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 say it with conviction. Your job is not to change him. It's the Spirit of God that changes your husband. If that doesn't change him, nothing will. Nothing will. And husbands, same with your wives. If she would only get her act together. If she would only do what I say, everything would be great. That is so unfair, husbands. It's the Spirit of God that convicts your wife to give her a humble and a quiet spirit, to want to walk with her husband and be one and build a family. So a person said to me, "You know, Kevin, you can't change anybody." I looked at this person who I knew quite well, and I said, "Is that a new revelation to you?" And he laughed, because this person has spent a good part of his ministry trying to get people to conform to a certain way of behavior. When you put pressure on people to conform, you cause them to preform. It's not authentic. And people start performing for you. And if you get affirmed for your performance, you even perform harder. Every time we say, "I believe in the Holy Spirit," we mean that we believe that there is a living God able and willing to enter human personality and change it. Thomas A'Kempis, the great Christian mystic, said, "Many are deceived in the end who at first seem to be led by the Holy Spirit." When you were born again, whenever you gave your life to Christ, however that happened, and we should never, ever compare our experiences. That's a big problem in people. Because how this happened to this person, that's how it's supposed to happen to everybody. It's not. It's very unique. He didn't heal the same way twice. But we should all be aware of the fact that we're called to bear fruit and to understand that you were born from above. It was not a sermon that did it. It was not the friend that worked on you. He was all co-laboring with you in God. But it was the Holy Spirit that drew you to God. The Spirit of the living God fell on you, and you were born again of incorruptible seed. Incorruptible. It wasn't 7 points to a happy life, how to overcome stress in the 2000s, how to find my gift, how to meet my passion. No, you were born again. How does that work? Simple. Simple. Nicodemus said, "How is a man born again? Can he be going to his mother's womb the second time?" Excuse me, Nicodemus, you're a teacher of the law and you don't get this? Look, here's how it works. The wind blows whichever way it wishes. So it is when a man is born again. Oh, I get it now. He's speaking to a theologian who came to him by night in John chapter 3 because he didn't want to be exposed as talking to this itinerant rabbi that was causing all kinds of problems. His rep was on the line. The next day, the next chapter in John 4, he meets a woman who, he says, at a well, and I don't even see "please" in there, but he said, "Give me a drink." And then she's shocked that a Jew was asking a Samaritan woman for a drink because they had no dealings with each other. It was almost like separate water fountains. It was that kind of prejudice. They wouldn't even be together. And he said, I'm surprised, but he said, and then you know the whole story in John chapter 4, where Jesus reveals himself to her. So the second person, he goes to the theologian in John chapter 3. In John chapter 4, he's dealing with a woman that's been married 5 times and is now living with a man who's not her husband. This message is truly outside the box. What is he about? What is he doing? When he leaves, he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. The Holy Spirit will come. As Matt so eloquently said last week, and sadly the podcast didn't come out, Matt said every time he speaks the podcast, it's almost like Mission Impossible. It doesn't. But he talked about the Holy Spirit last week. Really did a great job. But the Holy Spirit is easy for us to neglect him. People are scared of the Holy Spirit. People think the Holy Spirit is like a small H and a small S, and he's off. It's like we've got the Holy Spirit over here with a small HS in our life, with a giant J in the middle, Jesus. And then we've got the Father. We don't quite get that either. Father and the Son, they had that relationship, but, you know, so do we pray to the Father? Do we pray to Jesus? Do we do this? Everybody wants to try to break it down. First of all, let me say once and for all, you're never going to completely understand the Trinity. Turn to someone and say, I don't think I understand the Trinity completely. Would you tell someone? Turn. And turn to somebody and say, if someone says they do understand the Trinity, don't walk, run. John 16:12. Okay, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them down. It speaks to the fact that God does not reveal everything he wants to show you about your life now. People want to know the end before they get there. I don't know. It's an unfolding page. We're living epistles that he's writing in a book, and he's turning a page at a time. Next verse. But when the Spirit of truth... Who would that be? The Holy Spirit. He, which means he is a person. He's not a force. He's not a rushing mighty wind. He is not tongues. He is Almighty God. There are manifestations of the Spirit in everything I just said, but that is not to be confused with God himself, who the Spirit... He is co-equal with the Father and the Son. He will what? He will guide you. So as Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross and ascend, his last words to them, I'm going to be going away. And they said, please don't go away. We need you. And he says, no, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. The Spirit of truth will come. And he'll not speak on his own initiative. So that's the thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not trying to get attention. The Holy Spirit's whole purpose is he reveals Jesus. He exalts Jesus. He leads us to Jesus. He leads us to the cross. He leads us to redemption. He guides us in our decisions. Every decision you have of any importance, any decision, should be guided by the Holy Spirit. He'll not speak on his own initiative. In other words, the Holy Spirit tied with the Son and the Father, there's a oneness. He's not just a rebel in the Godhead. They are all one. But whatever he hears, so he hears too. The Spirit hears, he will speak, so he speaks too. And he discloses, so he discloses also what is to come. The Holy Spirit is referred to as He. The Holy Spirit is a distinct personality in one God with the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit has intellect The Holy Spirit knows all things. The Holy Spirit has sensibility. He groans with groanings too deep to utter in Romans 8. He has volition, meaning he distributes his gifts to the church as he determines in his sovereignty. How many have wanted to be something you weren't given? Your gift. In other words, how many wish they could make it on American Idol? Or how many wish they could do whatever? In other words, apparently none of you, but other churches I've seen this, where people want to be what they're not. They want to be great. They want to be up front. They say they have this gift and that gift, when really the Holy Spirit gives gifts. The only reason I'm doing what I'm doing is I believe he equipped me to do this and called me to do it. And he said, here it is, Saddleback Covenant Church. 32 years later, I'm still ticking. I'm the ever-ready battery, only by the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that sustained me, and it's the Spirit of God that sustained our church. And it's the Spirit of God that sustains you. So he distributes gifts. I mean, he gave Tony a gift. He plays every instrument. I play the triangle. I get with Dudley, and she's so visual. She just goes, I mean, she's not measuring anything. She just looks at that's off by a quarter of an inch, you know, looking at something on the wall. I said, no, it's not. But she has this gift of the way she sees things. She's really visual. And oftentimes she'll say to me, did you not see that? And I said, no, I didn't. She said, did you not see that the lid was not fastened tightly? I said, oh, must have been Oliver. That's our dog. But she's very, it's a gift. Katie, you have a gift. Where are you? I saw you earlier. She went upstairs. She's an artist. She's a gift. And obviously, Hannah and Lindsay have gifts in music. And then there's gifts in leadership, and there's gifts in servanthood. There are some people that simply, I don't know how they do it, but they're almost like the anonymous servant. One of my dear friends sitting right there, Barbara Green, I don't know how she does it, but more than once I've gone to meet someone who is dying of cancer, and there's Barbara. She's been working with him for months. She just has this gift of finding need in time, and it comes because it's something God put in her. And other people say, well, what's my gift? Just keep walking with him and trusting, and God will reveal that to you. Not everybody has, well, somebody, when it comes to service, being a servant, people say, I didn't get the gift of servant. No, you're not going to play that game with, homie, don't play that game. You're not going to say, I didn't get, let the gifted servant. How about you, and the other one you pull on me all the time. I'm not called to be an intercessor. I'm so grateful for the intercessors. So we've been praying for like 40 years every Tuesday morning for you. There's usually four or five or six. I don't want anybody there that doesn't want to be there. I don't want anybody there out of guilt. I don't want anybody there evaluating the prayer meeting, whether it's worth their time. I only want people there that really want to pray. And so it's a small crowd because it's at 6 o'clock in the morning. Who wants to show up at 6 o'clock? Plus, the prayer meeting, oh, it's okay. Mary, have we gotten closer through that prayer meeting? Have we gotten closer through that prayer meeting?
Yes.
We have. I've known her for many years, but she's been there. And Rhonda and Peter, have we gotten closer through that prayer meeting? Yeah. Bill is coming now, and others of you have been there off and on at times through the years, and this isn't a guilt trip. It's the reality that people say, well, I'm not an intercessor. Baloney. Dudley and I got a phone call this morning, and we found ourselves interceding for a situation. Not anybody here, but interceding. And so we're all called to prayer. We're all called to service. But some, Dale Congelaire breathes prayer. Where are you, Dale? Dale, I could ask Dale to pray anytime, anywhere. As long as I've known him, since he was a young man, he has had this burden for prayer. So there are some people that take it to another level. That's a gift.
And I'm not an intercessor.
He's not what? Not innocent. Well, I didn't say you were innocent. That I know. So, how about this? Do you believe the Holy Spirit fellowships? Bring up 2 Corinthians 13, 14. It's an interesting scripture. The end of 2 Corinthians. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the what? The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. We're to fellowship with the Spirit of God. You know why? Because he dwells in you. We're going to get to that in a minute. He intercedes for us. He teaches us. He comforts us. Someone wrote this. The word comforter as applied to the Holy Spirit needs to be translated by some more vigorous term. Literally, it means strength. Jesus promised his followers the strengthener would be with them forever. This promise is no lullaby for the faint-hearted. It is a blood transfusion for courageous living. The Holy Spirit, we get confused because he's a dove. He came like a dove at Jesus' baptism. And isn't that a beautiful picture? Oh, oh. Little dove comes down and Jesus gets baptized. So the Holy Spirit's really tame. The Holy Spirit's just a little bird. That's why he can be spooked so easily. If I don't do just the right thing, boom, the bird's gone. Or he's the mighty rushing wind. As Matt said last week, the wind was inside the house, not outside the house on the day of Pentecost. And it said it was loud and mighty. So this is another thing that, but then you go to Genesis 1:2 and you'll find out that the Holy Spirit, he was there at creation. Let us make man in our image. And so he was there with the Word and the Father in the very beginning. The Holy Spirit is powerful. He is God. He gives gifts. He's given you gifts. I don't know what you have that you think you earned. But I know in my own case, anything good in my life was given to me. And all I did was, maybe I went to school and I studied. I tried to develop it. I tried to be a good steward. But what I have, what you have, was a gift. And by the way, the Holy Spirit doesn't make mistakes. He didn't shortchange you. That's why the scripture says, if you compare yourself by yourself, you're without understanding. If you look at other people's gifts and you say, I didn't get that, we're not thinking, that's not coming from wisdom. That's coming from envy and jealousy. We need to trust the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. Now, one of my favorite stories in the book of thoughts, I mean the book of Acts. You know that's what a lot of Christians believe, by the way. All you need to do is think the right thing. How would that work in marriage? You never celebrate an anniversary. You never go out. You never do anything, but you think good things. Hey, we're married. I like it. Well, whatever. What do you want to do today? None. I just want to be married to you. That's all I signed up for, is to be married to you. Was there something involved in that when we got married? No, I just had to, I had to do the thing that day of the wedding, and that's it. God help us for Christians to think that all you have to do is sit in a pew. That God's purpose for our life was to get you to church. Kevin, I love you so much that I want to get you in church. No, I love you so much, I want you to be my servant. I want you to take the message to the whole world. Wherever I put you, I want you to be my servant. And I want the Holy Spirit to receive the Holy Spirit and work through you for other people. Now that sounds exciting. But the message is, get your rear end in that seat and stay there for 50 years and tithe. and don't cause any problems. And our professional staff will take care of you. We will feed you and teach you, and you will get messages from us. You don't have to do anything. In fact, your job is to evaluate our sermons. And the moment our sermons are no good, you need to find another church that has a better sermon that tickle your ears more. You don't like the worship because it's too loud. You want to go to a soft worship or things like that. It's happening all the time. I told someone really, I said, you signed up for Christian Light. There is no Christian Light. There is no real, there isn't, but we want it sometimes. As someone once told me one time, all I want to do is be saved. I don't want the rest of it. The person was frustrated. Okay, so this is a story. It takes place after a revival. It's interesting that this is in Acts chapter 8. Philip, I'll read this first part in 14. Now, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them, for they had not received the Holy Spirit. But Simon had been baptized, signs and wonders were happening, but they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's interesting. By the way, whenever you talk about the Holy Spirit, it is always controversial. Always. Some of you were raised in a certain way, what the Holy Spirit can do, can't do, what he did do back then, he's not doing now, and all this other stuff. I'm just going to tell you, he's God. Your theology is not allowed to put him in a box. He is God Almighty, and he rules and reigns the entire earth. As truly as he lives, all the earth will be filled with the glory of God. And the Spirit of God is moving among the nations, all below the equator in Africa and places like that. Great outpourings are happening. People are coming to Christ, and they're not just having experiences. They're being transformed. It won't show right away, but it will show one day that a culture will be transformed by the witness of the Spirit in that culture. So I'll begin on this, beginning in verse 25. Let's go to 25. Okay, now this is Philip. He'd already had a really, really good day, okay? Things are happening. He could not believe it. He goes to Samaria, and he starts saying, you're sick? Boom, heal. You're not feeling good? Boom. Ooh, you're foaming at the mouth. Come out of him. Ooh, set free. This is glory to God. This is what we all signed up for. It's happening. So he's done. He's kind of just figuring it out. And when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So he got up and went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit, the who? The Spirit said, spoke to Philip, go up and join this chariot. Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you're reading? Now just stop there for a second. You got to understand, this is an African who had been to Jerusalem, probably goes all the way back to Queen of Sheba that saw Solomon. There was some kind of connection with Ethiopia. It still is to this day. But they had all come up for the feast in Jerusalem, so he's going back. And so I don't even know how he got a copy of Isaiah. They didn't have Bibles, a lot of them. Just maybe the wealth So he's reading. I don't know how the language worked, what language the Ethiopian spoke, and whether he knew Hebrew or Aramaic, but somehow they were able to communicate. And so Philip is hot right now. You understand? When you're hot, you're just going. I mean, he's just come from a revival. So this going up to a chariot's no big deal. Sure, I'll go up, whatever. I'm up there. He said, do you understand what you're reading? I think he feels sure of himself. I don't think he was timid. I think the Spirit was working in. Do you understand what you're reading? Next verse. And he said, well, how could I? Unless someone guides me. And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Wow, that's interesting. Now the passage of Scripture he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearers in silence, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate to his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. This is out of Isaiah 53. Next verse. The eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself? Or someone else. Well, they're having a real Bible study now. We don't know what's going to happen in this Bible study. Continue. Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. The Spirit spoke to him. He preached Jesus to him. Continue. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water! What prevents me from being baptized? Isn't it interesting that Philip didn't ask him, do you want to be baptized? Something's working. The Spirit of God is working in this eunuch. What they needed was a messenger. They needed somebody else that had the Spirit to come to enable them to open up their eyes that couldn't see. Who shall I send? Who will go? Here I am, send me. And they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? Next verse. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What a statement. I pray that everybody in this room has said that. And meant it and believes it, would live for that, die for that, that you could be changed. A lot of things could happen to you, but that could never be ripped out of you. Next verse. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. I don't know what it was, a pond, a puddle, little creek. I do know that he didn't sprinkle him. He went in under. Next verse. When they came up out of the water, okay, the Holy Spirit's not allowed to do this next thing, okay? For those of you who are worried about what the Holy Spirit's going to do, he's not allowed to do this next verse, especially not in 2019. I'm sorry, Kevin. I love God, I love the Holy Spirit, but he can't do certain things because it makes me uncomfortable. And you know my comfort is what this is about. If I'm not comfortable, that's it. What in the world is he doing now? The Spirit of the Lord snatched. Turn to someone and say, the Spirit of the Lord snatches. Okay, he snatches. What is snatch? I don't know. Can someone show me a snatch? How do you snatch? Mike, snatch. How do you do that? Like Spider-Man snatches. Right? The Spirit of the Lord snatches Philip away. What? You told me to go up to the chariot. I go up to the chariot, I give him a Bible study. This guy's hungry. He's going back to Ethiopia, Africa. So I led him to you, Lord. I preached. He got baptized. And we come up out of the water, whew, beam me up, Scotty. He is snatched away. That can only happen once. That will never happen again. God would not do that today because we have intellect. We have the Word of God now. The canon was closed in the first century. Find that scripture for me where the canon was closed in the first century or the gift stopped in the first century. Do you know all over the earth people moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the fastest growing Christianity in the world? It's not an intellectual Western thing. It's an experiential thing, and that's why so many Western teachers are needed there, because they ground the experience in the Word of God, because experiences without the Word of God lead to heresy and abuse of gifts. And then, like all of us, if you've been around a while, you've seen people that abuse gifts and talk really weird and do things, and that makes people pull back and not ever want to be around it. But we can't let that happen. We have to know that, but then not quench the Spirit. So here he is, snatched, and the eunuch no longer saw him. So the eunuch gets back in his chariot. He goes away rejoicing. So when he gets back to Addis Ababa in Ethiopia, he said, "You're not going to believe this. I was doing this. This guy, it came up. We talked. I gave my life to Jesus. We baptized, and the guy disappeared." Isn't that crazy? Nobody believed him in Ethiopia that really happened. No way. It couldn't have happened. I'm telling you, I saw it and felt it with my own eyes. Keep going, next verse. But Philip found himself in Azotus. You know where that is? It's a real nice town. It's kind of place you'd like to raise your kids. Everybody knows each other, you know. Everybody knows your name. It's 20 miles away, 20 to 30 miles. So that snatch, he got snatched 30 miles. That's a pretty good slingshot. And Philip found himself. Okay, he gets up out of the water. Hey, where am I? Oh, you're in Azotus. Oh, good. And as he passed through, Azotus said, "Oh, good, okay." He kept preaching the gospel and all the cities until he came to Caesarea. What's the next verse? That may be it. I just am amazed. Matt said last week he wants power. I think we can't do this without power. And we need to receive the Holy Spirit to have power. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. He can be quenched. We can draw lines with him. We can marginalize and ignore the work of the Spirit in our lives. Yet I want to remind each one of us that he is eternal, that he's omniscient, omnipotent, he's omnipresent, and that he was there at your spiritual birth. The Holy Spirit is how you overcome temptation. No temptation comes upon us that he doesn't provide a way out. Our problems arise when we go after God in our own strength. Trying to achieve righteousness without the Holy Spirit is impossible. He is the Spirit of Christ. He testifies of Christ. He glorifies Christ. He draws us to Christ. He's the Spirit of grace. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. He helps us in prayer and ministry. He's the promise fulfilled and reaffirmed in the book of Acts. He's the Spirit of truth. He gives us the truth. He guides us in truth. He keeps us in truth, and he reveals the truth. He's a revelator. There is no secondhand revelation in Christ. So, I've said this a number of times, maybe to some of you. So if I say to you, does God love you? Of course. Kevin, of course he loves me. Absolutely. Does he? You sure? You don't seem very secure with him. Doesn't seem like he loves you that much. Feels like he might leave you. Does he love you? If he does, if you know that, that's only by revelation, not by knowledge. Because on a true and false test, everyone in this room, if I gave you a test that says, does God love us? Yes. How do you know that? Because he loved, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever, that none would perish and have eternal life. So you get all that A, B, C, you get an A on that, you get an A on that. But do you know this relationship when he said, come follow me, that he loves you? And if you know that, then the responsibility comes back on how you love him and what that means in the relationship in your and my life. So revelation is something that the Holy Spirit reveals to us. Sometimes it's not very pleasant. How many got a revelation and it felt like it was a little bit late, but not too late? You wish you'd got a hold of that a little earlier. Maybe in your, if marriage is like Christ in the church, there's revelations going on all the time in your relationship with your wife, your spouse, and your kids. And you know this, every parent here knows the kids have said things that were right from the throne of God to you. And you either use your authority and say, nah, or whatever. Or you said, wow, why doesn't she want to be with me? Why, and we're not asking the right questions. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. So with the Holy Spirit, we put our trust in him. The Spirit and the Word agree. It says in Scripture, O Lord God, thou hast taught us from our youth. You can confide and rely on the Holy Spirit and trust in him completely. It says in Ephesians 5:15-19, so then, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't get drunk with wine, for that would be dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So, this morning, I want us to get hold of the fact that God is the Holy Spirit. Jesus is God. The Father is God. Three in one, co-equal, co-substantial. And Jesus didn't just sprinkle fairy dust on us and call that the Holy Spirit. Jesus sits at the right hand. And the scripture is really clear. This one's going to scare you. This is the one I wanted to lead to. Bring up 1 Corinthians 3:16. Uh-oh. Do you know that? That you're the temple of God? You're not, it's no longer, that's why it's not about a building or a cathedral. It's a temple not made with hands. Where does, in the Old Testament, he was in Solomon's temple. And in the New Testament, he dwells in his church, which is people. The Spirit of God dwells in you. I, you know, that, look at that person next to you and really, do you think God's in that person? That's kind of an uncomfortable thing to do, so don't do it. But think about it. Bring up 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? Powerful. I often pray, I said, Lord, when I think he dwells in me, and then there's another scripture that says in me dwells no good thing. We all know that we are capable of a lot of stuff, and yet we need to hold on to the fact that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. One last scripture. I'd like you to stand. Three last scriptures. Beginning in Galatians 3:1. And I think this could be to, this isn't a condemnation to any person in this room, including myself. But this is something we need to get a hold of. Because it's too easy to rely on natural strength and logic. He said, you foolish Galatians. Who bewitched you? Positive thinking? What bewitched you? What got you to think that you didn't need the Spirit? You foolish. You Galatians. What? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly betrayed as crucified. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, and if indeed if it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Let's stop there. I'm going to stay on this theme. And next week, I'm going to talk about the book of Acts and where the Holy Spirit... Just, man, he's all over the book of Acts. And I want to challenge each one of us to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, if you have received the Holy Spirit, I'll put it this way. Is he welcome in your life? If he is, he stands at the door and knocks, so you let him in. He won't bust in otherwise. Receiving the Holy Spirit is not a one-time event. If you read carefully in the book of Acts, you will find that they were all, in chapter 2, filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were again filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 4. Especially for you older Christians that have been around a long time and you know a lot, or we tend to believe we know a lot. What I find out is the more I know, the less I know. But I would tell you, us to really open our hearts to the Holy Spirit again, fresh. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me, empower me. If there's stuff in there that keeps you from being filled, then that needs to be emptied out. Whatever's, if you know, it's like that on a plane when you go to the restroom and it says occupied, you know, and vacant. We want to get this vacant so the Holy Spirit can come and lead us and direct us. I want to say he's at work in your life, whether you're acknowledging it or not, or whether you're comfortable with it or not, or whether you know anything about it or not, because he's God. And he's brought you to church today.